through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we are now standing. Amen. We are standing, sitting in the grace of God, in the presence of God, before the throne of God. Do you feel? Do you recognize? Do you believe this? Not only believe, but also enjoy. Enjoy. By the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God bless all of us with his joy and peace, overjoy assurance of salvation. Overjoy assurance of salvation. Today, the word of God given to us, the book Acts chapter 13, from verse 40 to 52. Let us read alternately, last verse together. Verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We have to speak the word of God to you first, since you rejected and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Conclusion is, they were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Chapters 13 and 14, two chapters are one package, in that these two chapters cover the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. Then chapter 13 is the first half of this first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. As we saw before, in this chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas, three men, Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark started from their sending church, Antioch Church in Syria. They sailed to Cyprus. Cyprus was their first mission field. As we know, Cyprus is very small island in the Mediterranean Sea. In Cyprus, they started from Salamis, the east end, from east end to the west end from Salamis to Paphos. For example, if Cyprus were America, it is like that. They traveled from New York to where? Los Angeles, LA. And from the west end, Paphos, they sailed again to Perga in Pamphylia. At Perga in Pamphylia, their helper John Mark left them to return to Jerusalem. And from Perga in Pamphylia, only Paul and Barnabas moved, traveled again to another Antioch in Pisidia. Then at this Antioch, Pisidia, Paul preached the sermon we saw last Sunday from verses 16 to 41. Paul's sermon is like this. Yes, same. His sermon is the same with my sermon. Do you believe this? Paul's sermon is Jesus died for our sin and rose again on the third day and is still alive interceding for us. The forgiveness of sins and justification before the throne of God can be obtained only on the basis of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the justification is the action of God in which God declares just believing sinners righteous on the basis of death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then the text, today's text we read just now is the reaction, response of congregations toward Paul's first sermon. Let us see their reaction or response. Also today, same. I'm speaking the sermon, also we are showing our reaction, response to the word of God. How is your reaction or response to the word of God? You can check honestly in the presence of God. Okay, verse 42, from 42 to 45, let us read together, from verse 42 to 45. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas. He talks with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. You know, it is very interesting. Before the same sermon, before the same word of God, some are filled with jealousy. Last verse says, the others are filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. How about you? Before the word of God, are you filled with jealousy or joy in the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit. Yes, when they heard the sermon of Paul, and when Paul finished his sermon, left the synagogue, the people wanted to hear more. So then news had spread the whole city of Antioch in Pisidia, another Antioch. Then in this one short week, just 1 week later, on the next Sabbath, you know, verse 44 says, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city, can you imagine? Almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of them. Most of them were Gentiles. So when the Jews saw most of Gentiles gathered to hear the word of God, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Yes, not only that time, but also today, jealousy is obviously dangerous and deadly emotion. What is jealousy? Yes, everybody, including me, honestly speaking, everybody, even Christian, mature Christian, is very open to jealousy. Jealousy can consist of one or more emotions, such as anger, resentment, inadequacy, helplessness, or spite, rivalry, disgust, something bad. Actually, jealousy is a consuming desire. Jealousy is a consuming desire for the others to be a loser like me, to be a failure like me, to be unsuccessful, unhappy like me. It means when I am jealous of somebody, it is already I'm a loser, I'm a failure, I'm unsuccessful, I'm unhappy. I'm totally miserable, ruined. Yes, we must be very careful not to be jealous, because jealousy is one of the strong weapons Satan is using to destroy Christians, our Christian character and God's work. Check yourself. When you see others succeeding where you have not or receiving the information, affirmation you crave, can you rejoice with them? Amen. We must be able to say, amen, I rejoice when I see others succeeding where I cannot. I can rejoice. In fact, jealousy is a more common reaction. But how tragic it is when our jealousy feelings, emotions cause us to try to stop God's work. So if a work is God's work and the lives are being impacted for Christ, rejoice, rejoice. Say everybody, rejoice.
Rejoice.
No matter who is in the spotlight. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Hallelujah. We cannot do, but we can do if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. God bless you and me by the touching of the Holy Spirit. Please be free from jealousy. Amen? Shall we say to self, I'm free from jealousy. I'm free from envy.
I'm free from envy.
Really? God bless you. Also, please pray for me to be free from jealousy and envy. Okay, let us read from verse 46 to 48. This is middle part, also middle part, also main body in today's text. In these three verses, 46, 47, 48, key words, eternal life and light. We can see in verse 46, 48, we see eternal life, and in the middle, in 47, we see light. Okay, let us read from verse 46 to 48. Ready, go. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, we had to speak the word of God to you first, Since you rejected and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Appointed means actually, this is a military word. Appointed means chosen, elected, arranged. In theological term, appointed means predestined, predestined. You know, verse 46 says, they reject eternal life because they do not like eternal life. Then verse 48 says, they receive eternal life because they were chosen, elected, predestined, ordained for eternal life. In other words, this means if we are saved, we are saved because God elected us in His grace before the creation of the world. But if we are not saved, we are not saved because we reject the gift of God. Are you saved or not? This is a very great mystery, very mysterious reality in the teaching of Christianity. We must know that God's logic is not against human logic, but God's logic is beyond human logic. Isaiah 55:9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, God says, my thoughts are higher than your thought, human thought. My ways are higher than your ways, your thoughts. It means also my logic. My logic is higher than human's logic. Do you agree? Yes, this is true, because God is creator, we are His creation. Yes, we must believe the doctrine of predestination. We must believe the sovereign will of God. Do you believe the doctrine of predestination in the matter of salvation and eternal life? Bible says, Romans 8:29-30 says, those God foreknew, He also predestined. Those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also finally glorified. Ephesians 1:4-5 says, God chose us before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ to be holy and blameless in His sight. In His love, God predestined us to be adopted, to be received as His sons and daughters, children, through Jesus Christ, in the accordance of His will and pleasure. Also, we know this verse, Ephesians 2:8-9. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, not by works. It is the gift of God. So then nobody can boast of our salvation. But in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, in the Bible, nowhere it is said that God predestined before the creation of the world for somebody, anybody, to be destroyed in hell eternally. Rather, the Bible says, God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of God. Do you believe? Also, the Bible says, God does not want anyone to perish. God is not happy with the destruction of any sinner, any terrible sinner. God is not happy. Yes, we believe, we must believe the doctrine of predestination, but we must know that this doctrine of predestination is applied only to the elect, only to the saved. I said already, God's logic is not against human logic, but God's logic is beyond human logic. Human logic is like this. One coin has two sides all the time. But God's logic is not confined or controlled or limited by human logic. Remember this. And I said already in these three verses, key words is eternal life. In verse 46, 48, two times repeated, eternal life. Yes, we are very familiar with this word, eternal life, in other words, salvation. I once make it a little more clear. What is eternal life? What is the characteristic of this eternal life? How we can get this eternal life? And how can we know that we have this eternal life? The Bible, when the Bible speaks of eternal life, it refers to the gift of God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This means this life is gift of God. Also, this means this gift is in contrast to the death that is the natural result of sin. This gift comes only through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. This gift of eternal life comes to those who believe in Jesus Christ, who is himself the resurrection and the life. That is why Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. This fact that this is eternal life, this life is eternal, indicates that it is perpetual life. It goes on and on, on and on and on, until when? With no end. But we must know that also even the life in hell is no end. What is the difference? The life in the kingdom of God, no end. Also the life in hell, no end. Literally, a kind of eternal life in hell. In that, there is no end, no finish. So, however, it is a mistake to view eternal life as simply an unending procession of years. The Greek word for eternal is aionios. Shall we say it together? Aionios. Which carries the idea of quality as well as quantity. Yes, in fact, eternal life is not really associated with years at all. As it is independence of time, eternal life can function outside of and beyond time, as well as within time. For this reason, eternal life is something that we Christians experience when? This is very important. When? Now. Let me repeat one more time. Eternal life is something that we Christians can experience now and here. Now and here. Shall we say together? Now and here.
Now and here.
Now and here. We do not have to wait for eternal life. Are you waiting for eternal life?
Yes.
Are you waiting for eternal life? We do not have to wait for eternal life. Eternal life is not something that begins when we die. Eternal life begins. Eternal life starts the moment we receive in Jesus Christ. The moment we exercise our faith in Jesus Christ. It is, eternal life is our current possession. Let me show you some verses in the Bible. There are many, many verses. John 3:46 says, yes, whoever believes in Jesus Christ, he has eternal life. Very clear. He has. Notes that the believer has eternal life. Present tense. John 5:24 says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Yes, anything Jesus is saying is the truth. But he says, I tell you the truth. To put big emphasis, it means this is very, very important. I tell you the truth. Truly I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Present tense, will not be condemned, has crossed over from death to life. Present perfect tense. 현재 완료 in Korean. Present perfect, already done. Present perfect tense. John 6:47, repeat again. Jesus says, I tell the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. Present tense, all the time. Present tense. Shall we say present tense? The focus of eternal life, the emphasis of eternal life is not on our future, but on our current standing in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is not only futuristic, but also pertains to the present. Why? Because the purpose of Jesus' incarnation, death, and the resurrection and glorification was to provide eternal life to humanity, human beings like you and me. The Bible very clearly, definitely mentions eternal life as in the person of Jesus Christ. In John 17:3, Jesus himself says, this is eternal life, to know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Here, in this passage, Jesus equates eternal life with the knowledge of God and Son God, Jesus Christ. Knowledge. Eternal life is knowledge. There is no knowledge of God without the Son. Do you agree? Because Jesus Christ came in this world as a revelation of invisible God. How can we see God, who is spirit, who is invisible, who is unseen? We can see God through seeing Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus says, he who see me, see God who sent me. It is through the Son, Jesus Christ, God reveals himself to the elect. Another important thing about eternal life is this eternal life giving knowledge about God and the Son Jesus Christ is a true and personal, relational, experiential knowledge, not just academic awareness, not just intelligence information. You know, on final judgment day, they will be some people who had claimed to be the followers of Jesus Christ, but really never had no personal individual relationship with him. To those false professors, Jesus will say, I never knew you. Away from me, evil doers. To know Jesus Christ in personal, individual, experiential relationship is so important. That's why Paul made it his goal, final goal, to know Christ. What is your goal? What is your final goal? You know, Apostle Paul knew about Jesus Christ more, better than me. But his final goal, his always goal is to know Christ. Philippians 3:10-11, Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharings in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. How can we know that I have eternal life? You have eternal life. Do you know that you have eternal life now and here? How? First of all, we must repent. We must confess our sins before our holy God. Then accept God's provision of a Savior on our behalf. Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Very simple, but very clear, but only one way. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day to give us this life, eternal life. Believe this good news. This is good news. This is good news. Jesus died for our sin and rose again, still alive with us, giving us this kind of life. Jesus says, I have come to give you eternal life. Believe, accept good news. Shall we say, this is good news. Imagine, if good news is very difficult, there are many people who cannot accept, who cannot understand. Good news for all human beings should be easy, simple, and sure. Why? For all human beings. For educated, for uneducated, for rich men, for poor men, for tall men, for short men, for all men. Must be simple and easy. Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is with your heart. Do you have heart? Do you have a mouth? It is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Very clear. John points it so simply in his book, 1 John chapter 5, 10, 11. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. So the conclusion is, he who has a Son has eternal life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. Then verse 47 says, in the middle, this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. What does this mean? It means if we have really, really eternal life, we are the light of the world. Do you have eternal life now and here? If that is amen, amen means real, true. You are the light of the world. Jesus our Lord, who gave us eternal life, says again to us, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it on the bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, Everyone see that light. In this way, in the same way, let your light shine in this world so that they may see your light, your good ways, your good action. What is good action? Preaching the gospel. They praise the Lord in heaven. They glorify God in heaven. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful, beautiful light. Hallelujah. Okay, let us see. From verse 49 to 52. Verse 49 says, the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Please remember, the word of God is like seed, S-E-E-D. Seed has life. Shall we read from verse 49 to 42? Ready, go. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The word of God is seed. Now the word of God is scattering, spreading seed. Then our hearts receiving the word of God is field, or soil, earth. Remember, the word of God, seed, as seed is same, all the time same. Seed is the same. Seed is one. But field is very different. There are many kinds of seed. Before one seed, at least there are four kinds of fields. Jesus pointed this matter. There is hard field. There is a rocky field. There is a stony field. And there is good field. How about your field? Remember, only good field, only good soil produced a crop. 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. No matter how good the seed is good, hard field, rocky field, sown field cannot produce, cannot gain harvest. Only good soil. Jesus pointed. In the time of Jesus, in the time of Paul, even today, say, one seed is spreading in same room toward the same congregation, but field, soil is so different. Also in this situation, the same sermon was preached by the same man, missionary Paul, at the same time, at the same place. But the response, reaction of a congregation, very different. One group received and believed and was saved and filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. But the others incited, rejected, and persecuted. And finally, they expel, kick out. They kick out Paul and Barnabas from their region, from their place. Yes, remember this. Paul and Barnabas were set apart by the Holy Spirit, sent by the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, but they encountered hardships, sufferings, persecutions. In verse 50 says, they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. Yes, those who were set apart by the Holy Spirit, sent by the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, can encounter, can meet hardships, sufferings, even persecutions. Why? Very simple. Why? Because they preach the gospel. They preach the gospel. Some Christians may say like this, only in the early church time, 2,000 years ago, at the time of Paul and Barnabas, there was persecution to believers, but today no more persecution to believers today in Korea, in America, because Korea is a free country. No. Say no. All the time saying, Old Testament time, New Testament time, even today in Korea, in America, all areas in this world the same. Preaching the gospel must be followed by persecution. Jesus says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Because of means because you preach the gospel. Rejoice and be glad because great your reward in heaven. You know, last verse, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Imagine, you know, if you help unbelievers by giving materials, money, some other things they want, they like, why do they persecute you? No persecution. They will welcome you. You will receive welcome, praise, big clap, and popularity, reputation. No persecution. only preaching the gospel is followed by persecution. Also, at the same time, great joy is followed by preaching the gospel. Remember, in preaching the gospel, persecution and joy go together. But joy is much bigger than persecution. Joy overcomes persecution. No matter how big persecution, that persecution is conquered, overcome by joy. Hallelujah. Jesus, our Lord, Jesus tasted, 맛보셨습니다. Jesus tasted death to give us eternal life. If this is true, if you believe this, why are you not willing to taste small suffering for his glory by preaching the gospel, his story, for others' salvation, for others' eternal life? This is very natural, not difficult, not hard. If we really believe Jesus tasted death to give us eternal life. Last sentence in this sermon. This is encouragement, not only encouragement, but also challenge. If you are children of God, you are heirs of God. You are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. If you share with him in his sufferings, so that you may share in his glory. But we believe, we consider our present sufferings, our present persecution are not worthy to compare with the glory that will be revealed in us very soon. The best is yet to come. Yes, we enjoy this kind of eternal life. But another good news is the best is yet to come. Shall we say it together? The best is yet to come.
The best is coming soon.
God bless. God bless all of us with his joy and peace, overjoy of salvation and eternal life. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for this wonderful life. Thank you for eternal life, not in hell, but in heaven. Father, we thank you for this wonderful authority and the right to enjoy this eternal life, not only in the future, but also now and here, in the very place we are standing, in your mercy, in your grace. Thank you for your justification by faith, based on the blood and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this justification. Also, thank you for this sanctification. Thank you for this victory. Thank you for this glorification in faith by advance. Father God, thank you for everything, anything you have done for us through your one Son, one and only Son, Jesus Christ. We believe all blessings, spiritual blessing, heavenly blessing, eternal blessing, visible blessing, invisible blessing, seen blessing, unseen blessing, eternal blessing, temporary blessing, all blessing made possible simply because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we believe, we confess, Jesus is the answer of all questions, all problems, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Thank you for our Lord, our Savior, our King, our God, Jesus Christ. All glory, all honor, all authority belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our faith and confession and declaration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.